It was when I was connected with by some Christian people in a Toastmasters club way back in the early 1980s that not a text message at that time, but just an invitation message to attend a church happened to me. And it didn't happen just once because I didn't respond and attend. I said no rather than sure, I'll come. I said no. Nah. And then they invited me again, and I said, nah. Basically, I turned them down. And as I recall counting at some point, I remember there were seven different invitations. I know that's the perfect number, but listen, they kept at me, and I'm so glad they did. They kept inviting, and it mattered to me. It meant for me a huge change. When God comes into our life, things change. And I received God in a greater way than I had heretofore. I had been in church every single Sunday since I was born, I think. And it was early on, and I was always in church. It was 1 hour a week. But friends, as we say around the branch, we exist here as the branch to make Jesus known to the growing number of people out here who are uninformed, underinformed, or misinformed about who Jesus is. I was one of those that was underinformed. I didn't know about some of what you know about Jesus today. I, of course, didn't know what I know now because I didn't ever investigate what was in the Bible. I took some words from people. I didn't dig deeply into a relationship with God like I might with people. And so I was underinformed about God. And as they kept inviting me to church, I finally did go. And friends, over time, some huge changes happened for me. In fact, I'm standing up here because of the changes that happened to me in my life some 30 years ago. And friends, it's happened to you too. You know, somebody gave you an invitation. Something connected you, or someone connected you to Jesus Christ. Somebody was, or something was involved. Who was it for you? Was it a person that invited you, that taught you, that connected you to Jesus so that you might know Jesus and then be able to pass along Jesus to other people? Who was it? Do you know in your own mind, your heart? Sometimes it can be a tool that's used, like an invitation. And you might have been an inviter, or it could have been a tool like what we have been using, like a simple tool we mailed out this last week. This is a connection tool, isn't it? It's an invitation. And I know there's some right in our group today that have already responded to this. You know, even though we're kind of expecting most people to come from the community in the month of October, which is this great celebration month of our one-year anniversary. And so every person needs a connector. Every person needs a connector. And so it might be that you are connected to the branch by somebody inviting you personally in your life, and you're here today because of that. Or it could be that you've responded to an invitation connection piece that we as a church have sent out into the community to let the community know that God loves you, that God wants you closer to Him. Perhaps He wants you to be traveling inside of a faith community for your life. He wants you to grow closer to Him. He wants you to know Him better. He wants you to be, He's probably got a purpose for you because we know that He created you and we know that He loves you, but He has this purpose for you. He wants you to be, can I say it today, what we're talking about, a connector for other people. Just as you found somebody that came to be a connector for you and connected you to God, He wants us, every single one of us, to be a connector even for others. I'm so excited about this next month of messages and the kind of celebration we're going to have. It's the platform's going to look like this, and this is fun, isn't it? This is great. We've hopefully been able to upgrade our visual experience after a year, so, you know, We carry the most important message on the planet. One of the top priorities of our church is to communicate the message of God, of Jesus, well. And so we've done this upgrade here that, by the way, costs us a little extra beyond budget. And if I have to fit it into the budget by year end, I'll sacrifice something else because I felt like this was critically important. And as I talked with a number of people, I got a lot of, yeah, it is. This is much better than what we've had. Because we're trying to communicate the most important message that can be communicated to people. Okay? And so I want to thank you, by the way, those of you that have been able to help already in the extra funding for this, as you've been able to, thank you for that. That is really going to go to help us to continue our mission to reach people. So thanks for that. We're going to have some incredible fun in the next 5 weeks, so I just want to invite you, if I can connect you to those services over the month of October. There are going to be some special things that are happening every week. In fact, for children next week, there'll be this fire engine out here, and there'll be a live parrot and inflatable as one of the special activities that are going to take place as we reach out in a special way to invite families to connect with God through the branch here and the children's ministry we have. So really excited about that. We're going to explore this idea and question, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And so the question is there a longing that only God can fill in our lives? Is there a longing in our lives that only God can fill? You know, we have a lot of longings in life. Is there a longing? I mean, you know, my wife fulfilled a longing for me. But is there a longing that only God can fill for me? For you? You know, your job fulfills a longing and gives you some purpose and meaning, supplies some things for our lives. But is there a longing for you and me that only God can fill? Now, it's a rhetorical question because I submit to you that there absolutely is. He is our creator. He's the one who loved us, and he's the one who has this purpose for us, and he's the one who come to redeem us, to have us in this relationship with him forever. So we have some actually smaller invitation cards that reflect the same thing that's gone out in the mail, and I want to invite you to invite. I want to invite you to be a connector. Everyone needs a connector, and we all have people in our lives that, you know, not sure where they are, but, you know, we're going to this new church, and we have this celebration. It's a birthday for our church. That's what I'm going to do with all my people I'm inviting. We got a birthday, and I'd like to invite you to come and enjoy a birthday month with us. And even if you just come one Sunday, it would thrill my heart that you could be present and be part of our birthday. So, you know, invite people over the next 5 weeks especially. Year two is such an important year in the development of a healthy and effective community or church body, we would say. It's really critical. We're on this mission together. And so in the last 2 weeks and today, we've talked about being all in to make Jesus known. We're preparing ourselves, not just for October, but for the whole year too, right? We want to be all in. We want to gather ourselves together and understand that God uses his whole church to accomplish his purposes. Sure, you're used individually, but you are also used in concert with other people to get across what God is trying to get across to the world, which needs him so much. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about the responders. God's the great responder, but we are also responders. And we celebrated the fact that there are first responders in our community, and we sent out and reached out to them to 4 of the stations. And if you weren't here, I think last week, we shared some celebration about that and how those people were thrilled, those first responders, to receive all of those goodies you brought. They couldn't wait to dive into them. And just the fact that there was also some wonderful things, pictures that some children made for us and some kids that we passed that made for them. And they just were thrilled, and your comments and expressions of thanks for them and appreciation. Thanks for doing that, church. Anyway, we also find ourselves as responders. If there's a person that has a need in your life, you respond to that. Let's say physically, you respond to their physical needs. If they're struggling and they're going through some illness, we respond. And maybe they're going through some other crises in relationship and so forth, but there's also those spiritual needs. Sometimes people don't bring to the forefront of need in their lives, but we can be responders for God, for them, and help them through those times. So we serve them in that way. Last week we talked about being investors. We need all in as far as investors. And we talked about the idea of financial giving. You know, this is a new church, and so we have outside churches and we have outside individuals that give to support us. Roughly half of our offerings come from those two sources, but the branch offerings make up the third. Eventually, over the course of 3 to 4 years, the branch offerings are to fill the whole pie. And we're doing really well at that right now. I want to thank you. God is doing something. If you haven't jumped in, you know, to be all in on that, could I invite you to take a step and jump in and help out? And the way we talked about it last week is we could start small even. But you see, nothing will grow in our lives. Nothing will be able to be reaped if we don't ever sow. And so sowing is this kind of illustration. It's used in agriculture, but it's applied in the Bible also to financial giving. And so as we sow, we reap. As we sow more generously, we actually reap more generously. And we understand that because we plant a seed in the ground, something comes up. And sometimes if we plant too many seeds, too much stuff comes up. You know what I mean? Won't ever happen that way with God, by the way. You'll always enjoy all of the blessings He gives. It doesn't necessarily always come back financially, but it comes back in relational health and emotional health. It comes back in mental well-being. It comes back in the fact that you're honoring God. It's all that fits into what we do when we're investing in kingdom things. And so, again, I just want to thank you for your investment in kingdom through the branch. God is blessing the branch because of your faith expression in doing that. So that was last week, investors. But this week I want to talk about connectors. All in. Connectors are needed in our world. We know that, don't we? These connectors are so important in our world. You know, I was invited by a connector. One lady in particular, as I remember in that Toastmasters Club experience way back in the early 1980s. And she kept inviting. She was, you know, a very expressional kind of sanguine personality, and she was inviting me constantly. That was great, but there were other people also that were connecting me to God through invitation. And so there was more than one connector, and that had a good effect on me. It wasn't just one person, but it was other people too that saw me as valuable and wanted to include me in what they felt was very valuable and important in their lives. And so I am so thankful for those inviters, or could I say connectors. You see, there was this, if I could, you know, there's dots that we say need to be connected, right? And so there's this journey in our faith, in our understanding of Jesus and how important He is to our lives. And sometimes we're at a place, we're at this spot, dot, that we don't get so much. And me, I was underinformed. Other people are uninformed about Jesus, and other people are misinformed, and they don't understand Jesus right at all, the way He truly is. I was underinformed. I needed to get more informed, or like this. There's this dot of more information, more understanding of who Jesus is. And people connected me to that. You understand what I mean? People invited me into this level of understanding. And then there were other people that invited me into further levels, and then I went on to Bible college, and here I am, you know. So there's this dots that God wants to see connected in our lives. Places of growth, understanding, places of the sense of well-being, what the Bible calls blessed. Jesus wants us to be blessed. Blessed. And sometimes there's these dots, and those dots are connected by people like you and like me. Okay? And so just understand that we need to persist sometimes in our invitations. Perhaps you've invited someone to church in your past, and they didn't come. And you said, or maybe you thought, I better not ever invite them again because they're not interested. Don't do that. Don't do that, please. Because they could have traveled for a year in life and are starting to think about life in a different way. And maybe they're starting to think, well, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And we pose the question, you know, is there a longing that only God can fill? And sometimes people are not at the dot place where they want to deal with that question. But perhaps 6 months later, a year later, or even 3 or 4 weeks later, you ask them to come, and all of a sudden, you know, I think I'd be interested in trying that out. Whoa. You're still the connector, perhaps, to them, and between them and God, and them in better understanding. Invitations, friends, are important. Invitations are important. Now, we get all kinds of invitations. How many of you are on Facebook? Let me just see a hand show on that. Facebookers, okay. Sorry. Anyway, so you get all kinds of invitations to events and things on Facebook, don't you? You can just send them out there, and you can see all the invitations. Everybody is inviting us and everything. So sometimes invitations can get to feel a little blasé, just like, oh, no big deal. I'm getting invitations all the time. But invitations are really important. I received an invitation to a friend's wedding. This is now back in about the middle 80s. His name was Frank. He was Jewish. And his parents, who were fairly well-to-do, were going to throw this big wedding. And they were doing it with his bride, and they were going to have this monster wedding. And I got an invitation. I got an invitation to this wedding. Have you ever had an invitation to a wedding that you didn't want to pass up because you knew it was going to be a huge deal? Yeah, okay, so I went to this thing. By the way, do you know that the average cost of a wedding today, you know what it is? $10,000, I got that. Anybody else? How much? $15,000, anything else? $30,000, what else? Okay, $30,000, you're closest. Who said that? Good for you. And so the average cost, I just Googled it, by the way, it was $26,645, $26,000. That's the average. Now, most weddings' budgets are under $10,000. But because they also go up from there, right? Well, okay, so this wedding that I attended, it was an outdoor wedding, and the food was amazing. You want me to go through the list? Okay, I won't do that. The food was awesome. Anyway, so, and you know, there was this Jewish, it was just, they just threw out everything, and it was an amazing experience. I still remember it, right? It isn't one of those invitations that I was no big deal, you know. No, I remember that. I attended it, and wow, it was awesome. You know, Jesus was invited to a wedding celebration. He attended, got there, right? And he actually made that an amazing wedding celebration as they ran. It was obviously a big deal. They ran out of the wine, right? So he turned, this is his first miracle, turned the water into wine, right? Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Well, in the book of Luke, he talks about, actually gives a parable about a wedding feast. And he talks about, in the context of, the weddings were, in the case of this, where Jesus was trying to teach them, there were those that were giving to get, in the sense of, I invite you, and then I'll get invited to your wedding and that. And so Jesus was trying to teach them. He was also teaching them about not being prideful and arrogant, but inviting any, you know, people of lower place in life. And so as he got to the end of that, there was a gentleman who was at the table, who heard him talking about that. And he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And the whole text will be on this scripture sheet that I handed out to you. I'm not going to put the whole text on the screen, so you'll see just partial here. But I'll read to you it all out of the Bible this morning. And then we can go through it here. I'll share now, beginning with that verse 15, as that guy expressed, you know, we have these feasts on earth, but the best feast, the greatest feast, the amazing one that we're going to all get to is this one in heaven. This one in heaven, in the kingdom of God, speaking of that, an eternal place at this point. And so, blessed is the one who's going to eat at the feast, meaning that they've been saved, they're on the other side of death, now they're living forever in this amazing place. And it's going to be better than Frank's wedding. I know it's going to be, okay? And Jesus replied to that guy, a certain man, and he's talking, you know, he's telling a story, what's called parables in the Bible. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet. and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Now, let's just pause there and understand this. How many of you ever gotten an invitation that demanded an RSVP? You needed RSVP. That's kind of what happened back then. They had this, you're invited, and they wanted to know if they were coming, and normally people would respond back in some way. It might have been up to a year before the actual event was going to take place. And so they'd say, yeah, I'm going to come. But then time passes, and the time comes, and maybe life has changed a little for you or something. So look what it goes on to say here. But, now see, the invitation's there, it'll stay on the screen. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Those are 3 excuses, and Jesus calls them excuses. Please excuse me, I can't come now. Even though you've prepared it for me to be part of, even though I'm valuable enough to you that you wanted me to be present, even though I had previously RSVP'd so that you could expect me, and now the time, but I'm not going to be able to come. I got these other things going on now. And Jesus is saying this is an affront to the inviter. He's saying this is not cool. This wasn't a good thing that they had made these excuses at the last minute. So Jesus goes on with this parable, and he says, go out quickly. Well, actually, in verse 21, the servant came back, reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants to go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Now, interesting thing here, what's going on? The invited guests weren't able to make it. And so now, what's the man doing? He's inviting those who hadn't been invited before, those who he previously didn't know and doesn't know now. He's inviting whosoever will to come and be part of this incredible feast. It was like if I chose not to come to my friend Frank's wedding, and maybe there's another dozen people that gave excuses at the last minute, and I got to beg out, sorry, that Frank would have said, okay, go downtown Portland and find some folks and bring them to my wedding because I've got room for them. I've got food for them. I want my house to be filled up. Same thing. And obviously what's going on in this parable is Jesus is likening this man who's throwing this banquet to God in the great feast, representing our salvation or our new relationship, an eternal relationship with God. That's what's going on. Really cool, huh? And so he says, go out quickly. Focus on those words with me for a minute. And so the servant, in verse 22, said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room. And then the master told his servant. Then the master told his servant, look at this. Go out after, there's been another group that had been invited that the master knew nothing about, just people, wherever you can find them, go out into those alleys and the byways. Now he says to the servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full, and I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And so capture here and consider something for a minute. I think maybe a secondary truth involved in this parable that Jesus shares with us and relates to us today in what we can very practically do with great reward in our hearts as we invite, as we reach out and connect people to God. One of the truths here is that if the people don't respond to the invitation of God, they won't be at that incredible banquet in heaven, likened to this amazing heaven experience. They won't be if they don't respond to God. And some of these religious leaders were not, as the parable is shared to kind of connect with them about, look, guys, it doesn't bode well for you the way you're acting out your life right now. And so that's a primary, I would call a primary truth, the parable. But I'm looking at the secondary truth for us today. The secondary truth is this idea of go and invite. A word I'm using today is be a connector, because I like that powerful word, that my invitation is being used by God to connect people to Him. Hey, that's what I'm using it as today for us to consider. Hey, the gospel, friends, is good news. The gospel, by its very definition, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The greatest news on earth, because as we trust in that for our own need, and we have a need to have our offense before God removed, because we will be judged for the offense before God, that's a truth that's very, very important for people to understand. To understand when we know Jesus, we're understanding that Jesus went through a judgment for me when he died on the cross, for you, for the whole world. And so as we know Jesus and what he did, we understand that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again. We call that the gospel, understood as good news. Doesn't seem like it for Jesus, except the resurrection part, but good news for us in that when he died, he paid a penalty of my own sin and your own sin on that cross. We're released from it then. We're acquitted, we might say. We're no longer guilty as we trust in that. Trust in what Jesus did. Okay? So that's this good news that we're to connect people to. We're to invite people to come to understand better. And I want you to notice the first two letters of the word gospel. What are they? G-O, spelling go. Go. Think about this for a minute. How important this is in the Bible for the followers of Jesus to understand. Jesus said before he left the earth in his ascension to heaven, he said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in another place, that commission is given again, where he said, go into all the world and preach, teach, proclaim the good news, the gospel, to every creature. Some have said, where there is a creature, there needs to be a preacher. You're in part a preacher too, as you just be a connector, and you let people know about some place where the gospel might be shared, or you share it even yourself. He said, the disciples were told by God to go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life of Jesus. Jesus said, let us go into the next towns that I might preach there also, for that's why I came. After Jesus cast out a demon from a man, he said to that man, go home to your friends and tell them how great things of the Lord have been done for you and how God has compassion on you. He was to go and say something. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. We cannot sow the word of God. We cannot, plant it as a seed in people's minds without going. The sower went out. And so there's some going piece to being a connector, right? Go quickly, go and invite, go out into the roads and the countries. I heard about a football game that was played. It was a high school level game on the home field, and the home team was being smeared by the visiting squad. They were just getting crushed in this football game. And so someone on the sidelines kept yelling out, give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun, Because apparently he was the one that was going to be able to break through and do better for the team that was, in this case, being crushed. And so they tried another play, and again, the home team was smashed to the ground and losing, you know, yardage, and they were bad. They lost the downs, and then they finally got back the ball, and they kept trying to advance the ball, and they were stopped, even, you know, lost yardage. And so people in the stands heard this one guy said, well, why don't we gotta do something? So there was more people that said, give the ball to Calhoun. Give the ball to Calhoun. They would stand up and scream it out. Finally, after, you know, they were smashed in to the ground, and there was this pile up, and one of the students who happened to be extra tall, after he got up, he raised up, and he got up above everybody. He said to the crowd, says, Calhoun don't want the ball. Yell all you want, Calhoun don't want the ball. I am so, so glad that the Calhoun that was my connector wanted to carry the ball of the gospel and just simply made an invitation to me to come and hear more about what I needed to hear more about. I was, again, under-informed about who Jesus was. I want to be the Calhoun that says, okay, I'll take the ball. It might be kind of fearful because they're crushing the guy with the ball out there, you know, but it might be a little bit tough, but I want to be that person because it could mean somebody like me being able to eat at the feast in the kingdom of God in heaven, right? The Lord said, send them two by two before his face. He sent them two by two into every city where he himself would eventually come. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great. Speaking of the people that need to hear the good news. But the workers are few, Jesus said. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest field. And then he said this, go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Jesus says, you haven't chosen me, but I've actually chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bear much fruit. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, Jesus said, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one, and go after the lost one, and go after the lost one until he finds it. Go quickly, it's urgent, it's important. Compel them, help them to understand that they're created by an incredibly loving God that has a love for them that no one else could match on the planet. And then he has this divine purpose, this purpose that goes beyond this life and it goes into an eternal existence, this purpose that he has for us to accomplish, even right here at the branch, even in your own heart. God wants every person in his house, and his house is big enough. His house is big enough for every person, no matter the conditions of their lives. The house is big enough for every person. Listen to this. Tell the drug dealer there's still room. Tell the convict there's still room. Tell the molested teenager there's still room. Tell the abused wife there's still room. Tell the aged person, there's still room. Tell the gambler, there's still room. Tell the exotic dancer, there's still room. Tell the divorcee, there's still room. Tell the unwed parent that there's still room. Tell the addict that there's still room. Tell the abandoned child, still room. Tell the backslider. Tell the unemployed. Tell the broken, bruised, and burdened, there's still room. Tell the weak, wayward, and wanton, there's still room. Tell the damaged, depressed, and dogged out there that there's still room. The sick, the suffering, and the sinner that there's still room. Tell the anguished, afflicted, and the anxious that there's still room. Tell the lost, the lame, and the least that there's still room. Tell the outcast, overlooked, and overtaken that there's still room. Tell the poor and the persecuted, there's still room. There's still room. What a message we have. What amazing thing we get to do that God calls us into. The branch exists to make Jesus known to the peoples who don't know him, that are uninformed, underinformed, or misinformed about who he is. There's a growing number of people out here, and there's a need for more churches. You come to me if you need some of that understanding about the place we live in. We're not the Bible Belt, right, Tom and Amber? We're not up here the Bible Belt. And they were telling us how they were driving around. They'd missed, we sent them on a wild goose chase yesterday, and they found two churches in their whole drive. It says, if we were down in Texas, we would have found probably a dozen. And they would have been monster churches. Huh? You know, so there's the indication was there's a lot of room here of people that need God. And we have that great responsibility. Well, I'm going to close here. I want to close with this thought with you, though. Last Wednesday was big church, and we went over first. It's for students, and a number of churches get some of their students together. And Russell Klum, who's a church planter in downtown Portland, Oregon, was there to share. He shared some incredible thoughts with us that night. We're talking about those who are the outcasts and the misfits. Jesus kind of hung out with some of those folks. They didn't have their lives as well together as some of the others, and there was a caste system, you know, and levels of, you know, just like today in many cases, social economic systems like that. So Jesus would hang out with people that were hurting and needy, struggling with their understanding of God, and their lives were, you know, as a result, getting hurt. They were getting hurt. And he asked this question. How did Jesus include the outsiders? How did he include the outsiders? He invited them to follow him. He invited them to come to me, all you who are weary and laden with burdens. And, you know, you find your rest in me. My yoke is light. And those kind of things. He got with them, and he talked with them, and he began building relationship with them as best he could in his environments. And he got scolded for it by some of the religious leaders of the time. But he connected them to his heart and to the heart of God the Father. Oh my. That was a probing kind of question that Russell reached out to that I pass along to you this morning because it fits so well. Jesus was the greatest responder on the planet. He responded as the first responder to our sin that we could ever have and the only one that could ever. He was the greatest investor in us. He gave it all, not just financially. Jesus gave his very life for us. And Jesus is this incredible connector, okay? He's the mediator between us and God. If it wasn't for Jesus, we couldn't get to God the Father. We needed this high priest mediator, if you understand that terminology. Jesus is one who would do that. He came to earth and lived among us. It's called the incarnation, in the flesh. God came in the flesh. He is God with us. And so we understand some things about connecting with people because of Jesus, you know, and we're going to remember him in communion. We're going to have communion right now. I'm going to pray, and they're going to come and give a worship song. Communion's over here, and you're all invited if you'd like to participate in that. We're remembering Jesus' death by the fact that there's this little piece of bread that represents his body and this little cup of grape juice representing his blood, that he gave up everything. And we're so thankful. So, oh God, as we remember you in communion right now, would you continue to help us to understand and to know you the way you want us to, and to be like you in our world that needs to be connected to you so desperately, so many people, that we could be effective means by which you would use us as connectors here and there, as we give simple invitations, as we invite people, as we just reach out and talk to different people, even here at the branch, as well as in our home environments, work environments, neighborhoods, social environments. God, would you do that for us? We want that. And we just take our lead from you, the great connector of between us and God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.